Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Pei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 7 lines from the top of Daf Pei. In our previous discussion, we had a Tanaic source that made reference to the concept of Tumas Oichlin, where it was mentioned that when you have quantities of food regarding different halachas in the Torah, generally speaking, you would find the quantity in terms of an olive quantity, a kezias. The source mentioned that Tumas Ochlin was an exception where food that is Tomei can metama other food items, provided the Tomei food, the defiled food, is an egg quantity of food, a kebetza. So the Gemara now is going to be concentrating on that issue. And on the side, we have under our nosea or topic heading, Tumas Oichlin Bekebetza Minolin. From where do we know this particular point? And you're going to see in the Gemara, by way of markings, so we have triangles that are designed to illustrate attempts of the Gemara to find a source for that point, that Tumas Oichlin, that food that has become defiled, will be able to transmit the Tuma, provided it is an egg in quantity. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice double underlines that they represent, we'll call it, attempts to derail the source, suggesting that the source quoted is a reference to something else. So now, in the Gemara, Tumas Oichlin Kebetza Minolon, that Tumas Oichlin, that food that becomes defiled, is metama other food only if it is a minimum of a kebetza in size. Well, where do we know that from? Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Elazar, the Amar Kro. Rabbi Elazar quotes the pasuk that says, "Mikol ha'oichel asher ye ochel," and we take that to mean "oichel habo machmas oichel," food that comes from other food that will be metam. Of course, the context of the pasuk, it has to do with the realm of tuma. V'eize, what is that? What is food that comes from food? Ze beitzes tarnagulis. It's the egg that comes from a hen. In other words, a chicken is itself food, and the chicken lays an egg, so it's food that comes from food. The Gemara asks, well, who says that that's what the pasuk is referring to? When you read the pasuk, it says mikol ha'ochel she'ochel ve'imo gedi. Maybe it's a reference to a young goat, a kid that is born from a goat. That's also food that comes from food. The Gemara says, no, mechuser shchita. You can't eat the gedi. It's lacking slaughtering. You need to slaughter it before you can eat it, so we can't call it food. V'eimo ben pekua. Maybe it's the child found inside an animal that has been slaughtered. In other words, if you slaughter a pregnant animal, the fetus found inside the unborn is called a ben pekua. So that is an example of food that comes from food. So maybe that's what the pasuk is referring to, and not an egg. The Gemara says no, it rejects this ben pekua because ta'on kriya. True, it doesn't need to be slaughtered because the slaughtering done to the mother covers the unborn found inside. And by the way, this halacha is such that even if the unborn found inside itself can scamper on the ground, can live, technically speaking, it doesn't require its own slaughtering, but it does require being torn open to get its blood content out. So it's not ready to be eaten as such. So it's not food that comes from food. Kriya is ripped open, as we said, to get out the blood. V'ema beitzas bar yuchni. Maybe when the pasuk says oichel, mikol oichel she'achel, it's a reference to the egg of a bar yuchni. Bar yuchni is a very large bird. Some might want to translate it as an ostrich egg. But it's much larger than what we call a standard kibetza, a standard egg quantity. The Gemara says, tofasta maruba loy tofasta. Tofasta muat tofasta. If you try to derive something that is large, then you'll end up without anything. This is an expression that if you try to grab for too much, you'll end up with nothing. That's the idea. However, tofasta mu'at, if you attempt to literally grab upon a small quantity, tofasta, that will remain with you. That's why we don't say that the pasuk means this gigantic egg. V'ema biasa detzifurta, maybe it's an egg that comes from a very small kind of bird. So it's not what we call the standard egg quantity, but it's much smaller. So we don't have a basis for Tumas Oichlin being defined by food that is of a standard chicken egg quantity yet. Rabbi Avo Didei Omar. Rabbi Avo, instead of quoting Rabbi Elazar like we saw before, here Didei means on his own. Rabbi Avo on his own says, Mikol Ha'Oichel Asher Ye'Ocheel equals Oichel sha'ata oichloi bevas achas. It's not a reference to food that comes from other food, but rather it's a reference to that amount of food that you can eat in one swallow. V'shi'aru chachomim, the chachomim calculated, ein beis hablio machzik yoyser mi beitzas tarnagulas. The beis hablio, the point in your anatomy whereby you swallow something, that it, the back of your throat, if you will, that can hold no more than an egg quantity. So the pasuk is a reference to that amount of food, asher ye'ochel, that you could eat in one gulp. Omer of Elazar, ha'ochel chelev bizman hazeh. Here, by the way, we have a new topic. It's related to the concept of shiurim, but you'll see that it's a reference to something new, and on the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading where we've written, Ha'oichel Chelev Bizman Hazeh, one who eats Chelev. Chelev is a forbidden part of an animal, and if one eats it, and he knows that he's eating it, he's Chayev Kores. If he does it B'shogeg, so he would have to bring a Chatas, a sin offering. So the topic heading says that one who eats chelev bizman hazeh tzorech sheyichtoiv shiur shochal, he should record in a notebook the amount that he ate. So now the Gemara will elaborate on that, and you'll notice that this particular discussion will carry us down till the next two dots, that is about a quarter of the way up from the bottom. So Rabbi Elazar says, Ha'oichel chelev bizman hazeh, so one who eats chelev nowadays when there is no beis hamikdash, tzorech sheyichtov loy shirur, he has to record the amount of chelev that he ate. Shema yovoi beis din acher, for there may come a later court, talk about a later time, v'yarbe b'shurin. Now, the context of this discussion has to do with the hope, of course, that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and there will be a need for him to bring a sin offering. That's the the theme of this discussion, and Rabbi Elazar is saying that you have to record the amount you ate, because there may come a future Beis Din, and the expression of the Gemara of a Yarbe Bishurim, that needs explanation. Yarbe Bishurim literally means increase quantity. My Yarbe Bishurim. What do you mean by that? In other words, you're supposed to write the amount that you ate, write it down, and that information will be of importance if the later court is Marbe Bishurim. What does that mean? And here the Gemara in questions, what does that mean? It takes a few lines to develop the question, as our long question marking indicates. What does it mean? Inema de mechayvi korban akizayis koton. If the expression Yarbe Bishurim means that you will be chayav for to bring a sacrifice, even if you ate the equivalent of a small olive in quantity. In other words, it's an amount that today our feeling is, our understanding is that a kezayis cotton would not be mechayev a korban. It's too small. You ate too little. You'd have to eat a minimum of a standard olive quantity. However, you should record the amount that you ate. Let us say, just for illustration purposes, and nothing more, just for illustration purposes, that a kezayis, a standard kezayis would be, let us say, 25 grams. And a kezayis koton would be 20 grams. And you, today, ate 20 grams of chalev. And as far as our perception is, 20 grams, if we had a base HaMikdash, you would not have to bring a sacrifice. You ate too little. However, there's no base HaMikdash, so record that you ate 20 grams. Because later, when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, the court might decide that even for 20 grams, you're chayav to bring a korban. Well, would that be true? V'ha Tanya. We have a Tanaic source. It quotes a pasuk, Asher lo te'asena b'shgaga v'ashem. And we interpret, Hashav midiyasu mevi korban ashigigasu. Someone who, when informed what he did, would react and say, oh, had I known, I wouldn't have done that. That's Shav. He returns midiyasu as a result of becoming aware of what happened. So if that would be his reaction, then he is eligible to bring a korban. However, lo shav miyadiyaso, someone who, after being informed that of what he did, he wouldn't renege or wouldn't react with, we'll call it, with remorse, ein mevi korban al shigigaso. He doesn't qualify or is not eligible to bring a sacrifice. So now, in terms of basic halacha, we're not going to get into what we call the spirit of halacha, but basic halacha. If 20 grams is not an amount that one would be chayav for, so when you tell the person, hey, you know, you ate 20 grams of chaylev, his reaction would not be, oh, I wouldn't have done that, because what he did isn't something that, from a Torah perspective, again, we emphasize from a Torah perspective, is not considered something forbidden. Again, without getting involved with issues like chatzi shiur or spirit of the halacha, etc. But in terms of basic halacha, 20 grams is not an amount that constitutes a sin. So if later the court decides, later meaning after he did the act, the court decides that 20 grams is sin worthy and would bring a korban, but at the time that you did the act, it wasn't perceived as something forbidden, so you wouldn't have been a shav miyadiyaso, and as such you wouldn't bring a korban for such an action. So that cannot be the pshat. In other words, this write down how much you ate because of Shema, as the Gemara says, Shema Yofu Bezin Acher V'Yarve B'Shiurin, and the result being that now you will have to bring a korban for an act that when you did it, you wouldn't have had to bring a korban. That's simply not true lahalacha. Because acts like that, that when violated, you wouldn't have had to bring a korban, and plus of some kind of later decision, then you would. You don't bring a korban under circumstances like that, because that's not called shav miyadi asai. Ela, so then what is the pshat? Ela deloy mechayev korban ad deika kezayis gadol. In other words, write down that the amount that you ate. And why? Because a later court might decide that the amount that you ate is not chayev in a korban. And also there would be a later decision exempting you from bringing the korban. So record how much you ate. So let's say you ate 25 grams. That at this point, 25 grams is perceived as the amount that is a chaylev violation. But a court might come later and yarbe b'shiurin, and increase the amount necessary to have eaten in order to be chayev, to be obligated to bring a sacrifice. And according to that, you're writing down the amount you ate so as to save you from bringing a korban if this were to happen. The Gemara asks, okay, that's a nice pshat, and we'll accept that explanation. However, from time to time, the Shas analyzes what we call a havamina. What were you thinking at the first stage of the answers? So the Gemara asks, Ulamai desolik adaitin meikora. According to what you thought initially, the mechayvi korban akezayis koton, that you are to record the amount that you ate, because they might find later that the small amount you ate is chayev, is obligated in bringing a sacrifice. My yarbeh b'shiurin. What is the explanation of the word yarbeh? Because according to that explanation, if anything, the amount is being reduced. Reduced would be yema'it, not yarbeh. Yarbeh means to increase. What's being increased by having a ruling that a smaller amount would be the amount obligating you in a sacrifice? The Gemara answers, the word yarbeh has meaning. Shemo yarbeh bekorbonois machmas shiurin. As a result of reducing the amount that constitutes a kezias, that will then be the basis of having to bring more sacrifices. If, for example, again, just a superficial example, if let us say a person had eaten 40 grams of chaylev. So within the 40 grams, you don't have two zaysim in quantity if you assume that the zayas is 25 grams. Because 2 times 25 is 50, and you ate only 40 grams. However, if they, and if you ate, however, the if they reduce the amount that is mechayev a korban, not from 25 down to 20 grams, and I ate a total of 40 grams, so now I'll have to bring, instead of one sacrifice, I'll have to bring two sacrifices. So I'm increasing the number of sacrifices because of shiurim, because of the reduction in the quantity, as we explain. Now, we gave an example, and it's a very superficial example as far as technical halachas are concerned about eating things with b'shtei yedios or yediyah b'intayim. We're not getting involved with all those technical areas of halacha that some of you may already be familiar with, so don't hold us to the accuracy of our example. But we try to illustrate something by way of quantity in order to convey this point of Yarbe b'Korbanos, whereas the original 40 grams would have been Mechayev him in one Korban as a result of reducing the size of the Zayas from 25 grams down to 20 grams. Now I've got two culpable amounts in that which I consumed, resulting in two Korbanos, whereas previously I would have been Chayev only one. So that's the explanation of the Hava Amina. Omar Reb Yochanan, Shi'urin v'Oinshin Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Quantities and punishments are based on oral tradition. The Gemara asks, Oinshin Michtek Sivi. Oinshin, punishments for sinning are written in the Torah. It's not an oral tradition. Ela Hochi Koma. Rather, what Reb Yochanan said is as follows. Shi'urim shel oinshim halacha l'moshe misinai. The amount that constitutes a violation that results in a punishment, the amount to generate the punishment, that is based on an oral tradition. Tanya nami hachi. Shi'urim shel oinshim. The Tanaic source supports this and says the quantities that result in being subject to a punishment, the quantities are halacha l'moshe misinai. That's an oral tradition. In other words, the Torah is chock full of prohibitions. Don't eat trefa, don't eat nevela, don't eat dam, don't eat chalev, etc. But it doesn't say in the Torah and the scriptures how much one is prohibited in eating in order to be chayev, whatever punishment is associated with that particular offense. The amount that generates the punishment, that is oral Torah. That's oral tradition. Halacha l'mosh misinai. Now, another approach is achirim omrim, beis dino shel yavetz tiknum. The court of yavetz. Yavetz is a title that applies to Osniel ben Kenaz. Osniel ben Kenaz was a judge in the time of the Shoftim. He was a son-in-law of Kolev ben Yefune. We're talking about the period of time of around the time of Yehoshua, the entrance into Eretz Yisrael, that particular period of time, the first, second generation of people having entered the land of Israel at the time of Yehoshua. So the Achirim say that the Beis Din of Yavetz established these halachas, these quantities. The Gemara asks, "V'haksiv," but do we not have a pasuk that says "Eile hamitzvus"? And from this pasuk, we learn "Shein Novi Rashoi Lechadesh Davar Me'ata." A prophet, as great as he may be, has no right to institute new points of law. A prophet can communicate messages from the Kodesh Baruch Hu, can communicate a tradition that extends back to Moshe Rabbeinu, the receiver of the Torah, but he can't make something new. So what do you mean that Yavetz, Beis Din Shel Yavetz, established the quantities? And when we speak about these issues, we're talking about quantities that will result in a Torah-based punishment. It will result in bringing sacrifices to the Beis HaMikdash. These are not things that you would classify as rabbinic innovations. They, in order to bring a sacrifice, for example, in the case of Shogeg to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to have Torah-level sanction for that. Otherwise, in bringing a sacrifice that the Torah doesn't warrant, that's called Chulin Bazora. It's strictly forbidden. So, what is behind the Achirim comment? Ella, what Achirim's comment means is Shochachum v'chazru v'yosdum. They were forgotten and they were subsequently recounted and reestablished. Not that Beis Din Shel Yavetz invented the Shi'urim, but rather they recounted Shi'urim that had been forgotten. There was a gap in time when, after Moshe Rabbeinu communicated to Klal Yisrael, there was a period of time where things were forgotten. So they were responsible for recounting that which was forgotten. The Gemara continues with the issue of drinking. And on the side, under our title, we have Shi'ur Maloi Lugmov. The Mishnah mentioned that the quantity that is results in a Yom Kippur violation for one who drinks is a Maloi Lugmov. Let us continue in the Gemara before we make any comments by way of translations. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav Loi Maloi Lugmov Mamish. Don't take the quantity of Maloi Lugmov to mean literally a full cheek. Now, what that would mean is that you would, in order for your cheeks to expand as a result of drinking, you basically would have to fill the entire your entire mouth cavity with fluid, with liquid, to the extent that it's so full that it causes your cheeks to bulge forth. So that is not the amount. That's far too much. In other words, one will be a violator of Yom Kippur even with a much smaller amount. So what does Malo Lugmov really mean? Ela kol she'ilu yisalkenu letzad echod v'yir'eh kimaloi lugmov. It's an amount of liquid that you put in your mouth and then you don't fill your entire mouth cavity, but you swish over the beverage, the liquid, the water, to a side of your mouth where it would fill one cheek full. That's yisalkenu letzarechad. You would while the liquid is in your mouth, you would push it over to one side, and it would appear as if your cheek is full. So it's that quantity. The Gemara asks, "Vaho anan tnan milo lugmov," but the Mishnah says that you're not chayev until you drink a much larger amount, an amount that fills your entire mouth, and only then do your cheeks get filled. The Gemara says, "Emo kimelo lugmov." Rather, understand the Mishnah as not literal, where your whole mouth is filled and your cheeks start bulging, but rather, kimelo, approximately melo lugmov, means, like we explained before, an amount that if you were to swish it to the side of your mouth, it would fill a cheek full. The Gemara asks, and you can see these triangles introduce questions on what Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel taught. So where Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel said, not Malo Lugmov Mamish, we have these sources that are introduced to the triangles that seem to question that. Meisvei, Kamo Yishtev Yechayev, how much would one need to drink in order to be considered in violation of Yom Kippur? Beis Shammai Omrim Revius, a Revius is a particular quantity, a revius halug, and Beis Hillel Omrim, let's go back and say this again. Beis Shammai says a revius is a quantity, a liquid quantity, and Beis Hillel Omrim Maloi Lugmov. And actually, Maloi Lugmov is what we dashed underline. We want to focus on Beis Hillel's ruling. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Elazar Kimelo Lugmov. Slight difference, says approximately. We saw this just before this source was brought in, where the Gemara changed the Mishnah's appearance of Melo Lugmov to Kimelo Lugmov. So that's what Rebbe Elazar is saying here. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer Kedei Gemia, the amount that one would consume in a swallow. The Gemara is focusing on Beis Hillel and is asking the question from that Tanaic opinion on Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel. Beis Hillel says, no, it means literally you fill your mouth and your cheeks would expand. That's the amount
the Gemara says, are you asking from Beis Hillel in this particular source? Mi adifa mi masnisin? Is this Tanaic source any stronger than the Mishnah de Ukimna Kedei Shiraeh, where we explained already the Mishnah, though you saw Malo Lugmav in the Mishnah text, we explained it an amount that would appear as if your cheek is full. Hachi nami Kedei Shiraeh. Here too, with regard to Beis Hillel, it doesn't mean literally fill up your mouth at to the point that your cheeks start expanding with liquid, but rather the amount that you would swish over to the side, and it would appear that your cheek is full. The Gemara says, well, ihachi hainu Rebbe Elazar, then that would be the same as Rebbe Elazar in this source is saying. And if they are appearing together in the same source, they are obviously saying different things. The Gemara says, there is a difference. In other words, we're going to maintain the correction, if you will, regarding Beis Hillel as Kedei Shiraeh. But yet, he's not the same as Rebbe Elazar. So what's the difference? Iko Abinayo, the difference between them is Maloi Lugmav Dochuk, means a... instead of a generous, really full cheekful, it's an amount that begins to appear as a cheekful. In other words, it's an amount where the cheek starts to bulge, if you will, but it's not really bulging. That's dochuk, means just squeezed in, so to speak. Squeezed in under the line. According to Rebbe Elazar, he is machmir, that even maloi lugmav dochuk, even that lesser quantity, if one drinks it on Yom Kippur, he will be in violation. Maskif lo Rav Yehoshaya im kein. Well, if you're going to accept this explanation, then that maloi lugmav is not literally a maloi lugmav, but rather it's by swishing it over to the side, and one cheek appears to be full, then im kein havi le mi kule beis shamai ume chumre beis hillel. It would then make this as a stringency on the part of beis hillel over beis shamai. In other words, a revius that beis shamai spoke about is actually a larger quantity than an appearing malo lugmav. And if that's the case, so this machloikus should have been recorded in Maseches Edios. Maseches Edios is a masechta of Mishnayos where the lenient rulings of Beis Shammai, we speak lenient means lenient relative to Beis Hillel, where the lenient rulings of Beis Shammai appear. And this isn't recorded in that list, so that brings into question our explanation. And because at this point, then, since it doesn't appear in Adius, Malo Lugmav must mean literally an entire mouth cavity full of liquid, which would be greater than a revius, so that Beis Shammai would remain the machmir, and therefore it doesn't belong in Maseches Edius. Omar Lay. So Rav Hoshaya's question is answered. We continue at the top of Omid Beis Ki Itchil. When the question was asked, how much should one drink and then become chayav, or how much would be, we don't want to say should drink, he shouldn't drink obviously, but how much would one have to drink in order to be in violation? Be'oig melech aboshen itchel. The question was asked concerning a giant, Og, the king of Boshan. Og was the name of a biblical giant recorded in the Torah. The Havu Lei Beis Shammai L'Chumra, where Beis Shammai will in fact be a lesser amount concerning which one would be chayav. In other words, the single cheekful of Oig Melech HaBoshan is much more than a revius. so that who comes out being the machmir? Beis Shammai is the machmir, because Beis Shammai says one will be chayev for a revius, and Beis Hillel would end up saying that Og Melech HaBoshan wouldn't be chayev until he drinks much more than a revius. You can see that we have a series marking, and you'll notice these diamonds present questions regarding shiurim of achila on Yom Kippur. And after each question is raised, the Gemara gives a similar response, and that's illustrated by the double underline marking, and where we emphasize the term Kim Luhu Lerabonan. Same answer is given time and time again, and you can see that as you skim down the page. So we have a series of questions. Maskif Law Rebbe Zera. Maishno Achila de Cholchad Vechad Bekakoseves. O Maishno Shtia de Cholchad Vechad Bedidei. What is different about eating where an objective amount of food is given? The objective amount being a date quantity, a kosevis. But when it comes to drinking, we don't have an objective amount. It's true we say a cheekful, but we just illustrated how the cheekful of Og Mel Haboshan, if you were to put that amount of beverage in a receptacle, in a cup, so it'll fill the cup to the top. And when it comes to a person of normal body proportions, not a giant, his cheekful would fill a fifth of the cup. So when it comes to eating and a Yom Kippur violation, we say there's a standard amount, a date quantity, a kesevis. When it comes to drinking, it becomes subjective. It becomes the size of each individual's cheek. Amale Abaye. Abaye answers, Kim Luhu Lerabonan, or there's a girsa that adds the word Bachila, Amale Abaye Bachila. When it comes to eating, Kim Lerabonan, the Rabonan know, it's established in their minds, because Kesevis, with regard to a date quantity, the Behochi Mesvedaita, Botsimehochilo Mesvedaita, that, food, a date size in quantity, will put a person's mind to ease. Yishuv Hadas, this is a term, Meis V'dayte is a term we discussed in a previous shiur, which is the standard for violation of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, person is supposed to experience self-deprivation, abstinence, which results in what we call inui, for say pain or suffering, and that is our expectation when it comes to Yom Kippur. Anything that would undo this experience of inui, that is a violation of Yom Kippur. So the Rabbonim know that a kosevis quantity, a date quantity of food, will bring about a state of yishuv hadas, which is the undoing of inui. Botsir mehoch means less than a date quantity won't accomplish yishuv hadas. B'shtia, when it comes to drinking, b'didei meis v'dayte, b'dechavre lo meis v'dayte. A person achieves yishuv hadas only with his own cheekful, not with a quantity of his friend's cheekful, assuming, of course, that that quantity is less. So this is something that is part of an established oral tradition, an established certainty that the Rabbanan knew. Food establishes Yishuv Hadas with an objective amount. Drinking establishes Yishuv Hadas only on a subjective, individual basis. Maskif Law Rebbe Zera. Rebbe Zera asks, V'chol ha'olam kuloi b'kakoseves, v'oig melech haboshan b'kakoseves. You're saying that food is based on an objective standard, day quantity, which will provide yishuv hadas for everybody. But could that be? A person who is of average body proportions and oig melchaboshan, this giant, will both experience yishuv hadas with the same quantity? You would have thought that a large person would need more food to establish his yishuv hadas. Omar le Abaye, Rabbi responds, Kimlu Rabbanan de Bahochi meis vadaite, Botsir mehochi lo meis vadaite, that with an olive, a date quantity that will achieve yishuv hadas, less than that, there's nothing to talk about, there's no yishuv hadas. Miu, Kuli Alma, Tuva, Velgmel Boshan, Porta. You asked before about how could it be that the same amount will be sufficient for a common person and Ogmel Chaboshan. The answer is, for everybody, a minimum level of yishuv hadas is achieved through your basic kosevis. However, we say a minimum amount, that's the common denominator. However, average people will achieve even a higher level of yishuv hadas through the date quantity. Oig mel chaboshen will achieve yishuv hadas, but at a very minimum level. Maskif lo Rabbi Zera. Another question along these lines. Bosar shomein bekakoseves veluve gefanim bekakoseves. When we spoke about a uniform standard shiur for food as being a date quantity, but does it not depend on the type of food? Are you telling me that bosar shomein, fat, rich meat, and luve gefanim, vine tendrils, are treated in accordance with the same quantity? Once again, the underlying issue is, well, in order to achieve yishuv hadas, is it the same amount for this as for that? You would think, you know, as logic would say that if a date quantity of vine tendrils of luve gefanim will achieve yishuv hadas, and that's it's a lean type of food. It's a plant vegetation, rich meat. You would imagine even less would achieve yishuv hadas, and we're saying to the contrary that even rich meat less than an olive quantity will not. Not less than a date quantity would not achieve yishuv hadas. Could that be? Omar le Abaye. Abaye says, Kimlu Rabbanan. The Rabbanan know. They have established, it's established to them, in their minds, Debahochi meis vadaite, Bosim elchilo meis vadaite. A kosevis achieves yishuv hadas, less than that will not. Miu bosir shamein tuva, veluve gefanim porta. Bosir sham, rich meat, will achieve a lot of yishuv hadas, a high level of comfort. And luve gefanim, if you have a date quantity, it'll achieve also yishuv hadas, but minimal. Maskif lo Rava. Rava raises a question. Could it be that kezayis b'chdei achilas pras, the kosevis b'chdei achilas pras? This question focuses on a time factor. In order for the act of eating to be considered an act of eating, the amount spoken about has to be consumed within a time frame known as b'chdei achilas pras, enough time to eat a half a loaf. That's a literal translation, but it means it's a certain amount of time on the clock, a certain number of minutes. That's b'chdei achilas pras. So Rava is asking, there are most food-related issues are judged in terms of an olive quantity. There are other cases where a larger amount of food is needed, but it too is treated with the same time issue, the same time standard. So, reading this in the Gemara, Maskif lo Rava, Kezayis bechdei achilas pras vekosevis bechdei achilas pras. In order to be in violation of something whose punishment is generated through a kezayis, you'd have to eat it within that time, Kedeh Chizpas. Let's just say, again, this is we're not dealing with practical halacha, but we're just using examples, that Bechdeh Achilas Pras means 4 minutes. That you'd have to eat the item within 4 minutes to be considered an act of Achila. And that applies across the boards to all food eating related violations. But how could that be? That for a kezias, you would need to eat it within 4 minutes, and for something measured in terms of a date, which is a larger amount, also only if you eat it within the 4 minutes. If it takes you longer, so then the different times of your eating don't join up one with the other to create the entire necessary quantity. So what's bothering Rava is that you have, as we have over here, you have the eating of Chelev is in terms of an olive quantity, and Yom Kippur eating is judged in terms of a date quantity. And both are within the same time frame. Does that make sense? Amar le'avai, kim luhu l'rabonan. Rabbanan know, with regard to the eating of a date quantity, even though a date is larger than an olive, eating a date quantity on Yom Kippur, tibahochi meis v'dayte, only if he eats the Koseves amount within the Kedei Achilas Pras time, within 4 minutes. Then, and only then, will you achieve Yishavadas. Tvei mehochi, if it takes you longer, lo meis v'dayte, if it takes you longer than the 4 minutes to consume the food on Yom Kippur, the Koseves quantity, the day quantity of food, so you won't achieve Yishavadas. Maskif lo Rava. Rava asks a question that's very similar. He asks, Kezayis b'cheachilas pras and chatzi pras b'cheachilas pras? Now, chatzi pras is a new quantity we haven't seen. We've seen chatzi b'cheachilas pras. Chatzi pras is a quarter of a loaf, because a pras itself is half a loaf, and a half of a half is a quarter of a loaf. As far as what size the loaf is, you know, that's a discussion that you find in Maseches Erevin at much greater length. But for our purposes, in order for a person to experience what's known as Tumas Haguf, bodily defilement as a result of eating food, he'd have to eat a Chatzi Pras quantity of food before he would be considered defiled as a result of eating Oichon Temeim. What is the amount of time in which a person would have to eat the Chatzi Pras quantity of food in order to experience what's known as Tumas Gevi or Tumas Haguf? Well, the amount of time is Bechdei Achilas Pras. What is the amount of time in order to be considered a violator of, let's say, eating Chelev? The amount of time? Bechdei Achilas Pras, the same amount of time. Quantity-wise, the Chelev is violated. It's just an olive quantity. As far as the Tumas Gevio is concerned, Tumas Haguf, there, it's a much larger amount. How could this be that you have these two extremely different amounts, and both are within the same time frame? Omale Rav Papa, Hanoch l'tumas gevio delav deraisahi. Rav Papa says, don't ask from the topic of tumas gevio. Gevio is goof. Tumas a goof. Don't ask from that topic. That is not a Torah level problem. It's not the raisa. It's not a Torah level problem. The Gemara asks, "Umi Omar Rav Papa Hachi?" Is that Rav Papa's attitude toward Tumas Oichlin, or to Tumas Haguf? That is that really so? V'ha'oksiv, v'lo sitamu bohem v'nitnesem bom. The Omar Rav Papa, and the emphasis is on the name Rav Papa here. Mikan she Tumas kviya d'iraisa. So you see that Rav Papa himself says, based on this pasuk of v'lo sitamu bohem v'nitnesem bom, that Tumas Haguf, Tumah that one becomes defiled in because of eating Oichlin Temeim, is the Raisa. The Gemara says no. Midrabanan ukro asmachta bi'alma. It's not truly the Raisa, but rather it's rabbinic, and the Pasuk is just a reference point to this particular issue of Tumas Haguf, Tumas Guf as a result of eating Oichlim Tameim. But now, let us add that as a result of it being Darabonan, so it's an area in which we can be lenient. And how does leniency express itself here? It states that even though we're dealing with a relatively speaking large amount of food, we're talking about a chatzi pras, one does not become tamei tumas guf unless he eats it within the time frame of the chtei achilas pras. If it takes him longer to eat that very same quantity, he will not experience tumas haguf. The Gemara goes on dealing with food items that don't have the minimum shear. So if we said the shear of Yom Kippur is a keseves, he has a slightly less than a day quantity of food, but together with the food, he's got salt on it, or we'll see fish brine on the on vegetation. We'll point out that these, even though these things that are added to the food themselves are not considered food, nevertheless they're mashlim the shiur, the required amount. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a Nosei Mivneh heading where we feature a triangle. In the Gemara itself, you see Rav Papa and Reish Lakish appearing in these markings. They represent Shnei Dugmois, two examples, Shel Tziruf, Ma She'enoi Nechshav Oichel Im Oichel, where we combine that which isn't which isn't in reality food with food to complete a shiur, kedei lahashlim hashiur. And this is based on the principle mishum de'achshurei uchla uchla, something that comes to prepare the food, to make the food more palatable, is itself considered food, even though objectively on its own, if you were to have, as we'll see, one of the examples is salt. Salt on its own is not considered oichlin. Nevertheless, when you have a layer of salt on food, then it is considered food. We turn to the Gemara. Kol ha'oichlin, Amar Rav Papa, ochal umtsa umilcha. He umtsa is a piece of meat, and the salt, milcha, salt that's on it, mitstarev, salt that's on the piece of meat will join with the meat to complete a shiur. So that if you're talking about the prohibition of eating on Yom Kippur, which is defined quantity-wise by a date quantity, and you have a piece of meat that's smaller than a date quantity, but together with the salt that's on it, that will constitute a koseves quantity, then he will be considered in violation. V'afagav delav achilohi. Even though the salt itself is not considered food, Kevon de'achli inshi mitstarfin, since people eat it with their food, so it does join up. Omar Reish Lakish, Tzir Sha'al Gabi Yerek mitstarif l'kakasevis b'yom ha'kipurim. Tzir is brine that's on vegetables, is mitstarif to the kosevis quantity of Yom Kippur. The Gemara asks, Pshita, isn't that obvious? So mahu detemo mashkehu, one might have thought that the brine is considered a beverage, and the Mishnah teaches that beverages, a partial quantity of beverage doesn't join up with a partial quantity of food. Nevertheless, komashmo and kol achshure uchla uchla hu, that which comes, it might be a beverage, it might be a liquid, but it comes to enhance the food item itself, it's considered food. And hence, it takes on the quantities that are associated with food to be mashlim, to complete the food quantity. Omar Reish Lakish, Ha'oichel Achila Gasa B'Yom HaKippurim.
We're going to see a couple examples, two examples of achila gasa in this section of Gemara. Achila gasa is, in general, we can call it overeating. More specifically, we're going to feature a case where Erev Yom Kippur, where the couple hours before Yom Kippur, a person sits down to a meal that's called it's an Erev Yom Kippur meal, a Suda HaMafsekis, and generally speaking, a person eats a large amount of food where he becomes quite satisfied after that meal because he is going to be fasting the rest of the next day based on that particular meal. So you can imagine, and most of us have experienced this, where the meal before Yom Kippur is fairly large. Now, imagine after eating that large meal, and Yom Kippur sets in, and he eats more on Yom Kippur day itself. Do you think that he is experiencing pleasure as a result of that additional eating after he's already been, he's practically he's full to the brink, and now he's going to eat more, he's going to stuff himself now. Is he getting pleasure from that? So most people would say no. Hence, it doesn't come under the Yom Kippur eating prohibition. And that's what Reish Lakish says here. Ha'echel achila gasa b'yom ha'kippurim potter. He is exempt ma'itayma. Why? The Pasuk says, asher lo se'uneh siv. When is one considered in violation of Yom Kippur? When he is lo se'uneh, when he is not suffering, not feeling affliction. Person who's experiencing this state of overeating, he is experiencing affliction. So it's not in violation of the tenets of Yom Kippur. And we continue in the Gemara, which had mentioned Asher lo sunexiv prat lemazik, to the exclusion of this guy who is actually injuring the food inside of him and himself as well. Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah Omar Reish Lakish Zar Shochal Truma Achila Gasa. Now we've used the dashed underlining to highlight the expression Achila Gasa, so you can see that these points are in common. So Reish Lakish, that is Rabbi Yirmiyah, in quoting Reish Lakish, says that one who eats Truma, and he's a Zar is a non-Kohen. A non-Kohen is forbidden in the eating of the Truma tithe. But again, what's the Torah's prohibition? The Torah prohibits a zar, a non-Kohen, to eat truma. And if he does, let's say he eats truma in a state of shogig, in a state of lack of awareness. So he's penalized, and he has to pay back the principal, and he has to add a fifth. And that's what he gives to the Kohen. He gives a principal and fifth of the truma that he ate to the Kohen. That is true when he is guilty of eating truma. Let's say someone would destroy truma. In that case, he's chayev to pay the keren, but he doesn't add the fifth. The keren is the principal, but he doesn't add the fifth. The fifth is associated with eating. What about this idea of overeating? So a zar that ate truma in an achila gasa fashion, the Tsar had finished eating whatever he was eating, he's full to capacity, and then he goes along and eats beyond that some truma. So he pays Mishalmes HaKeren V'eino Mishalmes HaChomesh. He pays the principal. He pays the principal of what he ate, but he doesn't add the fifth. Ki yochal prat lemazik. The Pasuk speaks about a Tsar eating truma, not ruining the truma. And eating in an achila gasa is tantamount to simply ruining the food. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and we didn't point out, but this bow tie series marking is explained on the side as a sidro shel oichel prat lemazik, where the Torah makes reference to the concept of ochel, and from this we learn to the exclusion of mazik, of ruining something. So here's a third example of that. Rabbi Yirmiyah, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, says, Zar, and we continue at the top of Pei Aleph and Aleph, shekoses sa'irim shel truma. Non-Kohen is chewing on raw barley. That's not the normal way of consuming barley. Mishalim esakeren ve'eno mishalim esachomesh. He pays the principal, but does not add the fifth. Ki yoichal. The Torah warns against eating, and if one does so, b'shogeg, he pays a fifth above the principal. Prat lemazik, to the exclusion of someone who is mazik, who does an act of ruination, he pays only the principal and not adding a fifth. Omar Rav Shizvi, Omar Rav Yochanan, Zar Shebola Shizifin Shel Truma, Vehikion, Veochlon Acher. Now, this might sound a bit disgusting, and we acknowledge that, and we apologize for people's sensitivities. However, it describes a person, a Zar, a non-Kohen, who swallowed or who consumed, he ate some. Bola, technically speaking, is he swallowed the shizifin is a type of fruit, and it happened to have been tithed as truma. So he was eating shizifin of truma. So again, bola again means he swallowed it. So it might have been non-chewed, swallowed whole, and then he brought it back up. He vomited it up. And then the ochlan achir, someone else came and ate it. We're not suggesting here that someone else actually watched this and then ate it. I don't know. I don't think it's relevant right now. But someone else ate that, vomited up shazif, the fruit. Rishon mishalim keren v'choymesh. The first person who ate the fine truma fruit, who swallowed that fine truma fruit, so he pays keren v'chomesh. The fact that he didn't necessarily chew it, as Rashi says, bola below ksiso, he didn't chew it up, but that nevertheless is considered an act of eating. So he pays this zar, this non-Kohen who swallowed the shazif of truma, he pays keren v'chomesh, pays the principal and the fifth. However, the second one, sheni, ein mishalim el demei etzim lo rishon bilvad. The second fellow pays the first fellow. Now notice, the first fellow was a non-Kohen. Nevertheless, the Rashi explains that when the first person swallowed the truma, he acquired it. It's called, he was koine it. He was koine it, but he also became obligated to pay for it, to pay the keren and chomesh. That, all that being in place, the first one, to the czar, who had swallowed it, it became his, so to speak. Now, after vomiting it up, and the second person coming along and taking it and eating it, he pays the first one what's called fuel value, demei etzim l'rishon. He doesn't pay, it's not considered a fruit anymore, it's considered something much less, and that's what he has to compensate the czar for, demei etzim. Ha'oichel v'shoiseh ein mitzdarfin. The Mishnah mentioned that partial quantity of food and a partial quantity of drink don't join up to create a full quantity of Yom Kippur violation. Man Tana, we should point out before we go further that on the side, under our Nose heading, we note Ha de Kotoni B'masnis, and that which the Mishnah taught, Ha'oichel v'shoiseh ein mitzdarfin, Have Machlokistan. We're going to find that our Mishnah that teaches something as a matter of fact is in truth a Tanaic controversy. So our Gemara asks, back in the Gemara text, Man Tana, who is the author of this? Omar Rav Chista, so Rav Chista points out, B'machlokis shnuyo v'revishua hi. It's taught as a Tanaic controversy, and our Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. We have a number one by Rav Chisda. If you skim down a few lines to the fourth wide line, number two appears by Reish Lakish, where it says, V'chein Omer Reish Lakish, V'machlokes Shnuyah V'Rav Yeshua Hi. Basically, Reish Lakish reflects the same point that Rav Chisda makes here. So how does Rav Chisda know that it's in accordance with our Mishnah, which speaks about Oichel and Shoysa Ein Misafir is according to Rav Yeshua? This not. We have a source. Klal Om Rav Yeshua. Rav Yeshua teaches a rule. Kol, and this source deals with the issue of Tziruf or non-Tziruf. So Rav Yeshua says, Kol Shetum Oso V'Shi'uroi Shoveh Mitztaref. If you have an item that whose quantity, tuma literally means it's defilement, but its defilement is in terms of a certain quantity of two items, let's say of two half quantities of human flesh, or two half quantities, half a kezias from one animal corpse and another half zayas from another animal corpse. So those are examples of tumason and shiurun shoveh. The amount, the length of tumah is the same concerning those two half amounts, and that's the time frame of the tumah. In the case of tumas meis, it's 1 week. In the case of tumas nevela or tumas sheretz, it's 1 day type tumas. So they will join up. So you have a few two halves of an olive quantity of Nevela will join up to be considered a full quantity. And if a person carries it or he eats it, he will become Tomei, and that's what's meant by Mitztarev. However, Tumosoi Velo Shi'uro. Now we have additional examples. Something where the Tuma length might be the same, however, but not the quantity. Rashi gives an example of this, sheretz and nevela. Sheretz and nevela are both 1 day tuma, so their tuma is shaveh, but the shiur is not, because a sheretz is, in terms of an adosha sometimes is translated as a lentil quantity, a lentil bean, and nevela is evaluated in terms of a kezias. So if you have a quantity of one and a half quantity of the other, they will not join up, so that you wouldn't experience either, you wouldn't experience tumah or then isur achila midoraisa. Another possibility, shi'uro velo tumaso, two items that might have the same shi'ur, but they don't have the same length of tumah. An example of that would be mace and nevela. Mace is evaluated in terms of a kezias, an olive quantity, as is the case with nevela. So they both have the same quantity, however, they don't have the same length of tuma. The mace is in terms of 7 days, and the nevela is a 1 day tuma. And finally, lo tumaso velo shiro, two partial quantities of items that have a different quantity standard and a different length of time standard, ein mitstarfen. They don't join together. They don't join up. And likewise, we saw with Yom Kippur that ein shiuron shaveh. The shiur of food was in terms of a koseves, and the liquid was in terms of maloi lugmov. So they don't join up. So if you have a half a zayas of food and a half a lugmov of drink, they don't join together to constitute a Yom Kippur violation. Rav Nachman Omar, Afilu Temo Rabbonan. Our Mishnah isn't limited to Rabbi Yeshua. Our Mishnah could be like the Rabbonan who disagree with Rabbi Yeshua. Ad kan lo kamri Rabbonan hasam. The Rabbonan disagree with Rabbi Yeshua and say there is joining up of things that have an unlike standard. So they said that point, Hosam Elinian Tuma. They said that only with regard to halachas concerning defilement. Deshem Tuma Chad Hi. Whether you're talking about a mace or a sheretz or an avela, these are all things that are metama. They have that commonality to them. Aval ha'ocha, when it comes to Yom Kippur, mishum isuve daitahu, the concern is yishuv hadas being achieved. V'hai lo meisva daite, a partial quantity of food and a partial quantity of drink do not establish yishuv hadas. So that just like we said that our Mishnah reflects Rabbi Yeshua in this idea of lack of joining together, the Rabbanan would agree with that in the context of Yom Kippur. So our Mishnah is not limited to Rabbi Yeshua. V'chein Omar Reish Lakish B'machlokas Shnuya V'Rabbi Yeshua Hi. Reish Lakish says like Rav Chista that our Mishnah is that our Mishnah that speaks about Oichel and Shoysen not Mitztarev is a machlokas tanoim, and it's in accordance with Rabbi Yeshua. This non klal om Rabbi Yeshua v'chule. Here the Gemara saves ink, doesn't quote the whole source again, but it's the same as above. Rabbi Yochanan Amar afilu teimo rabbanon. Our Mishnah could be like the rabbanon who disagree over there with Rabbi Yeshua. Ad kan lo kami rabbanon hasam el inyan tuma. The rabbanon in their disagreement with Rabbi Yeshua spoke about unlike things joining up, because there the issue was defilement. But here with Rosh Yom Kippur, the issue is Yishuv Hadas being achieved? V'hai lo ka meisva daite, a partial quantity of beverage and a partial quantity of food do not join up to establish Yishuv Hadas, and hence there is no Yom Kippur violation. That's in contrast to the issue of unlike items with regard to Tumah. They all come under the same general heading of defilement of Tumah. So there could be different things joining us. They come under the same general, what's called shame Tumah. That's just to repeat, and that's not the case with regard to Yom Kippur, where the goal by Yom Kippur is to establish has Yishuv Hadas been achieved or not. And partial quantity of food, partial quantity of beverage don't join together to establish, to create Yishuv Hadas. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.